Hi, my name is Matt. I'm an English teacher, and this is a recording of a free lesson that I did recently on whiziq.com. We're using material from the Talk A Lot free spoken English course, which is a free download from englishbanana.com/talkalot. If you'd like to attend the next online lesson, please visit www.whiziq.com/Matt Perland. As well as free lessons on WizIQ, I'm also offering one-to-one lessons at private lessons. So that can be on either WizIQ or on by Skype or by any other method that you want to suggest. The price is $15 per 45 minutes, and that's payable before the lesson. You could pay by PayPal, or again suggested a different method. I'm very open to suggestions. No minimum number of lessons, so if you don't like it the first time, you could just say that's it, no more. You choose the time and how often, the frequency, levels from beginner, elementary, pre-intermediate, all the way up to advanced. Yeah, choose what you want to study, or I can prepare something for you. Yeah, maybe you want to study for exams like first certificate, PET, TOEFL exam, IELTS. So if I can help you, please contact me then, info@englishbanana.com, or my Skype, it's matt.perland on the Skype. Okay, so that's my offer for one-to-one lessons. Let's start today's lesson, and we're going to look at reading and vocabulary. So this comes from the first unit, that's unit 1 of intermediate book 1. So I've only written this one unit so far, but it's I'm sort of throwing out the materials as I go, and this is unit 1. It's nearly ready for publication, hopefully in the next 2 weeks it'll be ready. And this is the reading comprehension part of the unit. If you followed the other ones in Talk A Lot book 3, then you'll know this the characters in these readings, and you'll know kind of the outline of this lesson, how it'll go. First of all, we look at vocabulary, some new or interesting vocabulary, and then we read a story, and then we have some questions about it. And it's really as simple as that, but it's hopefully quite fun, going to be quite fun. It's a fun story, but lots of new or perhaps interesting vocabulary today in this. So let's start with an easy one. These are maybe things which are not clear or not really obvious. What does it mean, this first word, yeah? Yeah. Somebody says yeah, what does it mean? Type in the box if you know. Christina knows, Bridget knows, Ken knows, Khaled, Selma, Nadia. Yes! Okay, means yes. So we say yeah, 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 in spoken English instead of yes. But why? Why do we say yeah instead of yes? What is the benefit for us, for the speaker? Yeah. Do you want to go to the match? Yeah. Yeah, why not? Bridget doesn't speak like that. It's easy, says Ken, but why is it easy? Khaled says it's easier to pronounce, but why is it easier to pronounce? Go deeper. Think about it. Yeah or yes? Yes. So Christina's saying you don't move, but what doesn't move? If I say yeah, I don't move what? Yeah? Yes. So Christina's got it. So the tongue, so if I say yeah, I don't pronounce the final consonant sound. Yeah? Yeah? I'm doing it now. It's easier because my tongue can stay where it is, yeah, right in my mouth, doesn't have to work. So it's easier, but in a formal situation, it's probably better to make your tongue work and say yes. Yes? What do you think? Salma asking, is it slang? Yes. It's slang. It's informal speech, but it's very, very common in people from all walks of life. So it's not really wrong in spoken English in informal situations. Okay. Next one I'm going to give you. Gosh. Gosh. Exclamation mark. My goodness. My goodness. What does it mean? Gosh. Or what situation could you hear that? Christina's saying, my God. Oh my God. Nadia's got abbreviation OMG. Yeah. Text speak. So, a surprising situation, says Ken. Muslim is saying, when I'm shocked. Very good. So for surprise, like, gosh, really? You know, somebody says, I've got to go into hospital for 2 weeks. Gosh, my goodness. Maybe something negative. My goodness. Really? So why do we say gosh or my goodness instead of, for example, oh my God? Why? What do you think? To show surprise, but yeah, but why not just say, oh my God? Euphemism, says Ken. It's shorter, said Bridget. It's to do with the cultural, maybe more of a cultural thing. Hello, Regal. Welcome to the lesson. You know, if I was saying this, I would probably say gosh and probably never say God. Yeah. So Nadia is saying, don't mention the name of God without any purpose. So some people are offended by use of God as a surprising thing. Yeah. So gosh, if you say gosh, it has the same short vowel sound, the o sound, which and it's one syllable, but it is like a euphemism, like Ken was saying, so that we don't say God. It's more polite version. Oh gosh, doesn't offend anybody, gosh. We might not know whether the person we're speaking to is a believer in any God, you know, in any God, right? Next word we've got is adjective. Grotty. Grotty. It's adjective word. Something is grotty. What is it? Grotty. You know, I went to look at some property, a new flat, yesterday, but inside it was absolutely grotty, unpleasant, dirty, bad, shabby, said Christina. Bridget said dirty. Especially to do with property, or house, or building. Disgusting, yeah, grotty. Ken saying disgusting. Also, you might say about feelings. If you feel bad, like you've got a cold or flu, I feel grotty. Maybe you've got the flu, or maybe you've got man flu, which is a much worse version. Much worse. Yeah. Grotty. What about something, if it's raining cats and dogs? So it's a nice idiom, but what does it mean? Raining cats and dogs. Raining hard, said Ken. Heavily, said Selma, Osama. Christina saying, is it common use in England, grotty? Yes, fairly common. Especially about a room or a building. Yeah. So, tell us the story, Ken, if you know. It comes from Scandinavian myth, raining cats and dogs. Because I don't know this one. Type in the box, Ken. Yeah. What about the next word we've got? Incessant. Incessant is adjective word. Adjective. Something is incessant. It is. What? What do you think? So it won't stop. Christina's got it right. Without stopping. It's incessant. Maybe this chattering, people talking. Incessant. Incessantly. Yeah. Raining incessantly. Without stopping. Okay. We've got it there. Okay. What about phrasal verb? To fight over somebody. To fight over somebody. You've got the verb and the particle, over. Fight over somebody. Let's say there are two people, two girls, fighting over the same guy. Or, let's have equal opportunities. Two guys fighting over the same girl. No, Nadia, this is to fight over somebody, a person, to fight over somebody. So they both want the same person. So two girls fighting over the same guy, they both want him. Yeah. So it's to do with romance, we could say. Or it's to do with competition, isn't it? So if, let's say, you work in a market, you might fight over the same stand or the same position in the market with somebody else. Yeah, to fight over something, fight over money. But to be in a competition with somebody. Okay. Good. Next word we've got are related. So, lad and lass. What does it mean then, lad and lass? Any ideas? So, Christina is saying lad is a person. Yeah, Nadia is saying lad is a guy. It's male, a male person unless lass. So if lad is a male, lass is female. So Ken's got it. Lads and lasses. And this is colloquial slang. It's related to north of England. Our story is always set in Derbyshire, in the kind of in the Midlands to north of England. And so our characters sometimes use colloquial slang, that is slang just for this particular area. Lad, it's a man or boy. Lass, girl or woman. Lads and lasses. Okay. Next one. Another adjective, this time, eventful. Eventful. If something is eventful, what is it? Any ideas? So, Osama's got it, full of events, yeah? So, what, for example, could be eventful? The clue's in the name, in the word, isn't it? Eventful. But what could be, for example, the graduation party, yeah? So, period of time, maybe the week or the day was eventful. A lot of things happened on this day or during this time. Okay, next one. Oh my goodness. Right. Yeah, so Ken saying the British election that's just finished, that was eventful. And that's for sure. Yeah, it was eventful. Lots of things happened. What about the next one? It was a miracle. It was a miracle. So Osama saying it was unbelievable. What does it mean, miracle? Miracle. Something incredible, said Bridget. Nadia saying a wonder. Miraculous, that's adjective form, said Ken. So if a miracle is something unbelievable, an unbelievable event believed to be caused by God, that says Nadia. For example, what? Certainly in the Bible, in the Christian tradition, there are some miracles, aren't there? Unbelievable or surprising events, okay. But we use it in everyday speech to mean something was lucky. So, for example, let's say I'm very late and I run to catch the bus. I'm running, and the bus driver just sees me in time and he stops the bus and I catch the bus. That means I can say, oh, it was a miracle. I was really lucky. Really lucky. Yeah? So it wasn't literally a miracle, like something out of a holy book, but it was just something quite trivial, in fact. So it's an exaggeration. Yeah? It's an exaggeration. And really just means lucky. Yeah, Nadia's saying, my wallet was stolen and I asked for it, people to return it. They returned it. It was a miracle. So it's something that appears to be out of the ordinary, something quite lucky. But it's still something trivial rather than to do with a religious miracle. Okay, let's look at another phrase in the same spirit. Let's say it like this. It was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. What does it mean in this phrase? It was a nightmare. So Bridget's saying something terrible, yeah. Awful, scary, said Selma. So a nightmare is a terrifying dream, isn't it? A really terrifying dream. And again, we can use this as a form of exaggeration. So let's say I woke up late for work and I was running to catch the bus. It was a miracle that the bus driver stopped. And then I got to work 5 minutes late, and my manager saw me, and he looked down his nose at me like he looked unhappy. It was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. So again, it's a trivial situation, but we're using this exaggerated language to really emphasize or put emphasis, yeah, on it. Okay. Let's look at just one more, I think. And this is verb to lecture somebody, to lecture. So, what do you think? So, Ken's saying to explain. Yeah. Where do we normally see this verb, or what context? In what context? Lakshay, give some opinion, okay. Advice, to give advice, to scold somebody. Nadia's quite close, so tell somebody off. Okay, so usually we think about to lecture is in a university, right? In a university. But if somebody was lecturing me, what maybe one of my colleagues or a family member or somebody I know, they're telling me something very in a strong way. Oh, Nadia's saying they have the same expression in Russian. Yeah, to lecture somebody. It's like Christina's saying, give advice, but in the wrong way. In a very proud way, or sort of too forceful. Too forceful way of talking to somebody. And it has the impression that the person being lectured is unwilling to listen. It's unwilling. Maybe a father is lecturing his teenage children about the dangers of drugs or something like that. Or maybe not. I don't know. Soaking wet. Another quick one for you. Soaking wet. What do you think? If it's something is soaking wet, what is it? And for example. Wet to the bones, says Nadia. Christina, very wet. Ken's saying wetty, but it's not a word, Ken. But it's a new word you've invented. It's a good try. No, wet is already adjective. Lakshya, very, very wet. Okay. Hello, 211. Good to see you. Yes, you made up that one, Ken. But good one. Keep it. And if enough people start to use it, you could get some credit for that. It'll go in the dictionary. Good. Let's look at our text then now. And this story is called A Cultural Visit. A Cultural Visit. And it features the mother in the family of these texts. So it's Kathleen. It's her turn. Okay, I'm going to read the story for us. Listen carefully and write, type in the box any new words, anything that you don't get, okay? And we'll look at it at the end. So we've looked at most of the new vocabulary, but there might be something else there that you don't know, okay? And don't forget, you can use online dictionaries as well, or use your own dictionary. That would help save time. So, let's start the story now. Kathleen phoned her friend, Samantha. Yeah, we've just got back from Scarborough. We took a little group of Italian students from the college on a cultural visit. No, with Amanda, one of my colleagues. A smart lass, but well, oh gosh, does she not stop talking about work? My goodness. We'd booked quite a nice hotel, but when we arrived, it was absolutely grotty inside. So we decided to try somewhere else. Fine, fine, but the first couple of days it was awful. Rained cats and dogs, day in and day out. Incessant it was. Well, we had the police out on the first night. Emilio and Lucio went for a walk and didn't come back till after 12. Said they'd been out practicing their speaking skills in a casino. Well, and we had a little romance, you know. Evelina and Rose had been fighting over Paolo all week, and on Friday night at the disco, Rosa finally won out. Poor lad. And on the second night, I got a call from Dennis. He said he'd just been hit by a bus. By a bus? No, he was all right. It was a miracle, I think. But the bus was slightly damaged. And when I got home, I found Rob mopping the floor. The floor and everything soaking wet. The freezer had been quietly defrosting all day. Yeah. When he was out at work, everything was ruined. So, an eventful week. No, I won't. No, I won't go anywhere with Amanda again. No, we just didn't get on. The whole week she never stopped lecturing me about phrasal verbs. Nightmare it was. Okay, that's our story here. That's our story. An eventful week. Any new words or unfamiliar words here. Lakshay saying mopping. So if imagine the floor is wet, you get a mop. It's a long stick with some material at the end. Yeah, and for getting water off the floor, mopping. Mop. Ken saying cultural visit. Well, they went on a trip to Scarborough, which is a nice little seaside town on the north east coast of England. So I suppose they wanted to see the culture, how what it was like in a normal English seaside town. And it's maybe a little bit ironic as well, the title, because if you've ever been on a school trip or a trip with students, like an EFL or ESL, then the most important part of it is the disco or the games or the time when they can go to the casino, when they shouldn't. You know, this is the cultural things. These are the cultural things that students seem to be interested in, rather than the museum. Yeah. So, let's have a look at this. There's a lot of use of the past perfect form here. Selma's saying, what about adding the apostrophe de, apostrophe d? For example, rosed. Evelina and rosed been fighting. So, what is the form then? Rosed been fighting. What form is it? What tense is it? So Christina's saying had been, but what is the tense? Past perfect continuous. Thanks Bridget. Past perfect continuous. So they'd been fighting. Rosa had been fighting. But when you're speaking quickly in English, this is a phone call, remember. So the idea is to squeeze together things like all the function words, things like auxiliary verbs, which are not stressed. Squeeze them together, contract them. So she wouldn't say Evelina and Rosa had been fighting, because had been, we've got two unstressed words, it just slows it down. Just slows down the speech. What is important is the main verb, that is phrasal verb, fighting over. Yeah. So there's a few examples of this. Let's see. Nadia's asking about we had the police out. So this phrase just means that we called the police and they came. So the police came. We had the police out. Yeah. Okay. Good. Anything else here? Yeah, the police came. Okay. Let's look at this again, because it is a phone call. Kathleen is speaking to her friend about the trip. Notice the pauses here. For example, there's one. Pause. Two. Three. And another instance here later on when Kathleen answers a question and says no, he was all right. So what questions do you think her friend asked? So the first one is line 2, pause, and Kathleen says no with Amanda, one of my colleagues. What question do you think her friend asked? Any idea? So this is a pause, and then Kathleen says no with Amanda. So it has to be a yes-no question. So Christina is saying, which person, what question form could you say? What's the question form? It's not the right question form, Christina, the one you've said. Selma's saying perhaps she thought it was a man, with a man. So, who went with you? But it has to be a yes-no question, because look, the answer is no, with Amanda, yeah? Oh, question forms. Very difficult. Yeah. But what is present simple? Question form. In the p oh sorry, past simple, isn't it? Yeah, past simple. So Nadia's saying, did you go with blank? Did you go with John? Did you go with any of her colleagues? Yeah. Did you go with your family? Did you go with somebody? Yeah. Did you go? That's the question. And she says no. With Amanda. Okay. Next one. So she pauses on line 6, and she says, "Fine, fine, but the first couple of days it was awful." What is the question then, do you think? What could be? How was your trip? But it's to do with something else, more specific than that. Because she says, fine, fine, but the first couple of days it was awful. What was awful? What is she talking about? What's she talking about? No, not the cultural visit was awful. No. Marfa's got it. So, but question form, put into a question form using the past simple. Past simple. Look what she says. Fine, fine, but the first couple of days it was awful. Rained cats and dogs. So Selma's saying, "What? How was the weather?" Yeah. How was the weather? Fine, fine, but yeah. What was the weather like? Said Christina. Nadia. Good. Okay. Now we're thinking. Yeah. Okay. what about here when she pauses? Well, we had the police out on the first night. What question could her friend have asked here? What do you think? Well, we had the police out on the first night. So she's asked about the weather, which is what English people do first of all in a conversation. Yeah. I'm looking for a question like shy rather than a single word. Yeah. Was everything okay? Says Nadia. It's a general kind of question. And Bridget's saying, were some problems with the students? So, were there any? Did you have any? How did it go? Maybe. Just simple. How was it? Did you enjoy your trip? Said Nadia. Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. And the last one here, the last question, she replies and she says no, he was all right. So it's about Dennis being hit by a bus. That's unlucky. What question do you think her friend could ask here? But look at the form, can look at the tense. Look at the tense here. What time is it? So Nadia's saying, was he hurt? Was he hurt? No, he was all right. Yeah. Something like that. Was he hurt? Was he injured? You can't say, was he okay? Because she says, no, he was all right. And that's the same, isn't it? Yeah, that's passed lecture. Yes, I've got the, we've got it. Was he heard? Yeah, Khaled saying, "Oh, was he heard?" For example. Good. Okay. Let's look at something here. Just something interesting in this text. In the last sentence, nightmare it was. Nightmare it was. What do you notice that's strange or different about this? Okay. Nadia's saying inversion. Inversion. So, how should it be? How should it be in really standard English? How. Christina's saying it was a nightmare. So, that's a better sentence grammatically. So, why does she say this? Nightmare it was. Nightmare it was. Why does she say that and not simply. It was a nightmare. So Ken's saying inversion strength. Yeah, makes the meaning stronger. Okay, Christina for emphasis, Nadia to express strong feelings. So if she says it was a nightmare, she's got three syllables which are weak stress before she can say the main word, which is nightmare. Okay, good. Let's have a look somewhere else in the text. Can you see this anywhere else? This inversion? Nightmare it was. Can you see that? Where else is it in the text? Anyone? There's another example that's like that. The same kind of thing, Nadia, exactly the same. Just have a look in the text and you'll see it. So, okay, it was a miracle, I think. So that's another kind of inversion. Instead of subject, verb, object. But there's something that is exactly the same as nightmare it was. Can you see it? Anyone? Anyone? Now, think about the weather. Yeah, incessant it was. Incessant it was. So again, we've got the strong adjective first, and this stresses the meaning. So you shouldn't write this kind of English, but it's possible to use it in spoken English. Yeah, it's possible. And it's common to do that. Okay. So, other things that we could do with this text, we could look at the characters. I mean, how many different characters are there in the story? How many? How many characters are there? We've got Kathleen, that's one. Yeah, Samantha. So, Nadia's needs some time to count. Okay. So please talk amongst yourselves while we're counting. Ken's got six. Oh, it's more than six. It's more than that. Don't just say seven, eight. So while we're counting, there should be a musical interlude. Let's have a look, shall we? We've got Kathleen, Samantha, Amanda, police. Yeah, we could include them as characters, I suppose. Yeah, the police, Emilio, Lucio, Rosa, Evelina, Paolo, Dennis, Rob. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I think 10 or 11. I'm sure it's 10 or 11. Bridget's got 12. Okay, so I think it's quite boring to do the to do the counting on this kind of lesson. So let's leave that maybe. Well, you live and learn. Okay. But it's a lot of characters, and the point is, if you have this text and you've got a group of students, you could get them to role play with different characters from the story. So maybe one of them could be Amanda, one of them Kathleen, and try and role play, imagine some of the dialogues or arguments or conversations that they had. Maybe you want to, you could be Evelina and Rosa fighting over Paolo, if there's three in the group, you know. Or you could do it like a monologue. So let's say you're Dennis, and you just tell what happened to you, you know, in this story. So Christina's saying find photos of Scarborough. Yeah, you could go online, look for some information about Scarborough. So there's a lot of extensions for this activity. One of the activities we do is the true, false or unknown questions, and I've got 30 questions, but we haven't got time for 30. Ken's saying it's a famous song town, Scarborough Fair. Of course. So if you sing it, we'll hum along, Ken, if you want to sing it. But yeah, are you going to Scarborough Fair? No, he's just laughing. Okay. So let's think then, true, false or unknown. I'm going to give you some a few questions. Type in the box, is it true, false or unknown that you don't know, for example. So first one, Amanda isn't very clever. Amanda isn't very clever. Is it true, false or unknown? And type in the line number. Amanda isn't clever. Nadia's saying unknown. Bridget as well. Are you sure? Are you sure? Oh dear. So, are you sure? So, Amanda isn't clever. That's false. Why? 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 Look at line 3, what she says about Amanda. A smart lass. She's a smart lass. Smart means what? Clever. Now, Ken and Bridget are arguing whether a woman can be talkative and clever. Okay, I'm going to stay out of that and go to the next question. So, Amanda went to Italy with some students and a colleague. Amanda went to Italy with some students and a colleague. So type in the box, the true, false or unknown, and which line number. And the line number. Line number 1, saying Bridget, Khalid, Christina, got it, false. They went to Scarborough, and much nicer than Italy. Although I'm sure it's nice in Italy as well. But Okay, not as cool as it is in Scarborough. Next question. The bus was badly damaged. The bus was badly damaged. What do you think? The bus was badly damaged. Nadia saying false. Khalid, false. But which line number? What is the line number? Line 13. Yeah? Bus was slightly damaged. Okay, let's try one more then. Emilio and Paolo went to a casino. Emilio and Paolo went to a casino. Is it true, false, or unknown? Emilia and Paolo went to a casino. Bridget's there. Christina, but what line number is it? So, false. Line 8 was Emilio and Lucio. Great. Paolo was the one being fought over. Being fought over. Yeah. Good. Okay. So, I think we're going to finish then. Today we looked at a new text that's from Talk-A-Lot Intermediate Book 1, Unit 1, Hotel. And lots of new vocabulary and different spoken English forms, for example, inversion that we looked at here. We had some discussion, we had a little quiz. And this material will be available from the website englishbanana.com in about 2 weeks, I would think. In a couple of weeks, maybe 2 weeks. By the end of May, I hope so. So, I hope that's been useful and interesting today. Thanks a lot for coming today. Don't forget you can watch this lesson back on the recording, or go and get our podcast from iTunes or from this link. And don't forget, join me next Thursday evening. Evening in where I am anyway, Central European time. For some more on the sentence blocks, and hopefully as well, I will be back next Saturday afternoon, but I will plan it, put it into the system. Okay, thanks for coming, everybody. Thanks a lot, Christina, Nadia, Ken, Bridget, everybody, Elena too, everybody here. Please leave some feedback for me about the lesson. It's really helpful because other people can see what it's like and they maybe watch the lesson. They'll watch the lesson. Okay. Mary's saying, could you repeat? So, my next lesson is on Thursday. This Thursday will be 8 o'clock. Central European time. Sorry, 8:30, isn't it? And also, I'm planning to do another lesson on Saturday next week, 4 o'clock, on the subject of phonetic alphabet. Hoo-hoo. Yes. I dare to go where no English teacher has gone before. No, it's a very unexplored area, let's say. Unexplored, the phonetic alphabet. But really worth exploring, worth doing. Okay, so any last questions or points there? Okay. Yeah, so we're going to look at that next Saturday, unconnected speech, and how it fits together, and that's something that's really interesting and useful. Yes, of course, Mary, that's how you can add me in, that's fine. Lass is British English, can, and Northern English. Northern. Yeah. My Skype, it's on the system. It's on the screen there. Okay. Northern English. So somebody from the south, a Londoner, wouldn't say lass, but they have some different colloquial form. Good. Certainly Scottish as well, yes, in the Scottish accent, definitely. Northern, it's a northern thing, Ken. Yeah. Also used by people who are older. So, for example, in this story, then Kathleen is about 40 or 45, talking about her colleague who's much younger. So, it's almost a little bit patronizing. This lass, a smart lass, but really she should say woman, because that she's not a girl, or yeah. Good.
Thanks for joining us today. To download more free lessons and all of the Talkalot materials absolutely free of charge, please visit englishbanana.com/talkalot.